Here's my notes. It's time to break every chain. How many of you know that you have to be set free from some things? Until we get to heaven, we are constantly going to be needing to get set free from some things. In order to break every chain, we have to determine where the roots are. We have to get to the roots. I loved to garden. I grew up on a farm. And it was real easy to mow down the big weeds. But then when it was time to pull them out, it was really difficult because every time you cut off the top, the root goes down and starts growing out even further. It's a lot easier to deal with it now than to deal with it later. So finding spiritual roots requires three things. Research. We have to go back and do some spiritual mapping of our lives, of our lineage, maybe of the region we live in, maybe of our property. We have to be persistent. It is not one and done. I got a lot of freedom. Golly. I can't count it on two hands anymore. 37, 38 years ago. But every year as I pressed into the victory of the Lord, I got even more freedom. And I will be more free tomorrow than I am today. And it requires discernment. You have to know what it is you're going up against. You have all been gifted with discernment. If you don't have spiritual discernment, you do have physical discernment. Smell, see, hear, taste, and touch. You can smell a demon. They don't smell very nice. They don't look very nice. They don't sound very nice because they're always accusing you and heaping condemnation on you. They don't feel very nice. They definitely don't taste very nice. We have to discern what it is that we're coming against. So what about me? What about you? I know that I'm loved. Both of my parents are in heaven. I was privileged over the latter 6 years and the last 3 months of their lives to lead them to the Lord. When I was growing up, I thought maybe I'd put a photo up. But the last picture I have with me and my dad, I was either 4 or maybe just turned 5 years old. I was wearing this big oversized glove on my right hand because I'm left-handed. It was a right-handed glove. I was in a baseball uniform, and my father, almost out of the picture, was in his softball uniform. Some of you remember DeMays Hotel. He played softball for DeMays a couple years ago. Building doesn't even exist as of last year. That's my memory. I remember that I did go on some fishing trips where I stayed on the shore and he went out in the boat with his brothers. I remember that when I was 5, my father started 14 years of night school so he could get ahead. He graduated when I was 19 and had just completed my first year of college. And most mornings I would see him while I was eating breakfast, and he would run out the door for work. When I was real little, he worked 2 jobs and went to night school. And if I stayed up past 11 o'clock, I might see him. Occasionally, I'd see him on weekends. I know that he loves me. But I did not have a father to father me. When my father was 10 years old, his father died. He did not have a father to father him. When I became a teenager, He stopped giving me a hug goodnight. My sister still got hugs, but my brothers and I never got hugs after that, because he didn't know how to raise a maturing son. I think I'm maturing. I ain't there yet, so be patient with me. You can have a father that loves you and still be fatherless. The day before I was ordained as a prophet, I had asked my father 2 weeks earlier if I could take him to lunch. So we were sitting on the Applebee's down here on Ridge Road at lunchtime, having lunch. And he said, "What did you want to talk about?" In a nutshell, this was our conversation. "Dad, whether I am ever ordained or not, I do not care. But I want your blessing. I want a blessing from my father that I can pass on to my children." I had already blessed my children, but I want that generational blessing because the Lord is always looking at the generations. That's why when the three generations were up here flagging tonight, there was a powerful move of the Spirit here in the room. We were both weeping as he said, "I don't know how to do this, but I affirm who you are, and I love you." First time I had heard that in over three decades. What about you? Fatherlessness is the bastard spirit. That's what Scripture says. It's a curse that has overtaken America. So why is this important? Because Deuteronomy 23:2 says that a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation he shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That means that they were not allowed to come into the temple for 10 generations if they were conceived out of wedlock. The Message says no bastard is to enter the congregation of God, even to the 10th generation, nor any of his children. The Amplified says a person begotten out of wedlock shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall his descendants not enter into the congregation of the Lord. This means that people can't enter into the intimacy of the Lord because the Spirit has captured their soul. I can make a confession, I can go to heaven, but I still got issues in my soul. The New American Standard says, no one of illegitimate birth shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. None of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord. The Hebrew says that mamzar, its root meaning means to alienate. It means a mongrel. It means that someone who is born of a Jewish father and a heathen mother, a bastard or a child of incest or an illegitimate child, shall not enter into the temple of the Lord. The Word Study Dictionary defines mamzar as a masculine noun identifying illegitimate children or a bastard. It specifies a person who does not have proper pedigree or genealogy, or was born out of wedlock. It's interesting because Ruth was a Moabite. Boaz was a Jew. Ruth was able to enter in because the lineage of Abraham, and which became the lineage of Christ, allowed her to enter in. Fatherlessness, or the bastard spirit, is rampant in the United States. Do you know that? Here's some statistics. In 1957, that's the year that I last had a photo with my father, 40% of the people in the city were fatherless, and 7% of the people in the suburbs were fatherless. That's pretty bad. But 4 years ago, 85% of the people in the city and 47% of the people in the suburbs were fatherless. They were either one-parent homes, or the father was never around, or the father split. This is the United States. Do you think fatherlessness is a problem that we face? I told some of you back in November, Casey and I are the New York State reps to the 13 County Council, and we had established an I-90, 13 County Apostolic Council. We had our first meeting in November, and Apostles John and Cheryl Price, who are from New Jersey but head up the entire Apostolic Council for Chuck Pierce, were there to share with us some things. They were in Europe in October, and particularly they were in England. And what I'm going to show you came from them, but also came from England, where they identified where the root of this bastard spirit was in the United States. And the apostles that Casey and I know in England repented on behalf of England for what they thrust on everyone in the United States. And John and Cheryl received it, forgave them, and released it. We did the same thing in November for New York State, and for each of our people groups and races. We had everything but Chinese represented in that meeting. They found a document in England called the Patriots Reference, documents and speeches and sermons that compose the American soul. Do you know that you have a soul? Do you know that every nation has a soul? Do you know that God created the nations? He created the people groups. He created the cultures. Culture is good, but it needs to be submitted to kingdom. And on pages 64 through 66, there was a Declaration of Rights from the Stamp Act Congress. You remember the Stamp Act from your history lessons? If you grew up in my generation, you were taught this stuff. It revealed that the colonists' heart of honor and diplomacy toward England when they declared in their Declaration of Rights, which Parliament refused to receive. In other words, the colonists submitted themselves to England and honored them, but England refused to receive it. The Declaration listed 13 points, but these two especially, the second one, may reveal the bastard spirit root in America. And this is also true in Australia, in Canada, and every place that England colonized. That His Majesty's subjects in these colonies owe the same allegiance to the Crown of Great Britain that is owing from His subjects born within the realm, and all due subordination to that august body, the Parliament of Great Britain. In other words, we are to be their servants. Okay? But, number two, that His Majesty's liege or loyal subjects in those colonies are entitled to all the inherent rights and liberties of His natural born subjects within the kingdom. In other words, we were entitled to the rights, but they wouldn't give them to us. They denied every colonist the right and the authority that they had under the king. Point two indicates the colonists were pressing to be received as natural-born sons. All of the people that came from England wanted to be recognized as natural-born British servants. But instead, they were being treated as though they were bastards without citizens' rights. It was an opening for the bastard spirit to open and get a grip on America. What happened there, the colonists did to every First Nations people on this land. They ripped the fathers and the mothers and the children apart. We did it to every African that came to this land, and as they were slaves, we ripped the mothers and the fathers and the children apart. What was thrust upon us, we made sure was thrust upon everyone else. And it exacerbated and accelerated when the electric light was invented. Up until then, Dad worked during the day, came home, and people were families at night. But now Dad could work 12 hours. Oh, we can do 24 hours. And then after World War II, it got even worse because we sent the men off to war and there was no one to run the factory. So we employed the women and we ripped the parents out of the home. The same thing that we did came back as a judgment on the nation. Do you see how that works? Until you get to the root, you're going to eat the fruit, whether it's good or bad. So here's some manifestations of fatherlessness. See if any of these relate to where you have been. The first is poverty, constant struggling for provision. Nothing the father has is yours. It's all his. He doesn't leave anything. But the proverb says, a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We all like the next half, and the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the righteous. But not if you got a fatherless spirit operating, because everything belongs to the father. I hate the bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. It shows me a person that is under a curse. Number two, there's a lack of stewardship when provision comes in. Well, I'm going to go out and spend it on this, this, and this, and maybe put a couple extra lotto tickets. There is no stewardship or planning for the family to advance. Number three, lack of foresight and planning for the future. Every paycheck goes into what I need. When we were raising our children, Casey and I were living on less than 70% of our income. And we taught our kids to live on less than 80% of their allowance. So every time they got an allowance, they put 10% into their tithe, and they put 10% into a savings account, and some of them, both Bill and Jess, eventually put 10% into an emergency account so that they had something should an emergency come up to draw on, and they didn't have to get into debt. I could give you testimony after testimony of where our children are because they still do that. And they're teaching our grandkids to do that. Number four, there are poor father-child relationships. Did you ever hear, wait until your father gets home? Was I the only one that ever heard that? That meant that mom couldn't discipline me. And it didn't matter if it was 11 o'clock at night and I was sleeping. When my father got home, she told him. I remember the last time that happened. I was 12. My mom washed my mouth out with soap. I said, that tastes pretty good. The next words out of her mouth was, wait till your father gets home. It didn't taste so good then. And he didn't use soap. See, just because Dad's there doesn't mean we have the picture of our Heavenly Father loving His children, encouraging us and affirming us as to who we are. I have to choose to do that, and I've failed many times with our children. Number five, unhealthy relationships with pseudo-fathers. Mom's boyfriend, stepfathers. You can imagine the rest. And it's usually the child that gets abused. It's usually the child that gets put down on when there's fights and disagreements. By the way, that's the one that leads to very much of the sex trafficking that's going on in our nation. Number six, rejection. But Dad, I don't have time. When will you have time? I don't know. That's hard on a little soul. Number seven, poor or mediocre marriages with lack of communication. After our first son died, Casey and I went to a marriage encounter weekend down in Tennessee and learned to communicate to each other all over again. We had a long distance romance when we were in college, and we wrote letters. And if you ever got a letter from me, as most of the leadership of the church knows, I leave letters out, I leave words out, and my daughter said I leave sentences out. But we learned how to communicate again for the spirit and for the mind. We learned how to communicate so that our children could see us communicating. And it was interesting when Jess was in her senior year of nursing school and undergraduate school, they had a senior nursing ethics class where all the nursing majors met with all of the professors. And her class was the largest nursing class at their college at the time. They had 12 nursing majors. And they're all sitting in a circle. And the question that they had to answer that day was, who is the head of your household? And as they went around, our daughter was last. As they went around the circle, some said, well, my dad is, well, my mom is, well, no one is, well, my dad is, well, my mom is. And when it got to Jess, she said, well, they talk together and they make decisions. But if a decision has to be made right away, my dad is the one that God recognizes as the authority, so he makes it. We had never talked about that when they were growing up. But because we had the communication, she saw it. Number eight, self-centeredness or self-preservation. Well, I just got a pay raise, but it's going to go to the new tractor. It's going to go to this. It's going to go to that. It's going to go to the new sewing machine. It's going to go into my pocket. The sewing machines are off the table. But it's all about me. It's all about my. It's all about mine. That's a fatherless manifestation. Number nine, dishonor. You know, the commandment that most of us need to repent for is honor your father and mother so that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That doesn't say I have to agree with them. I don't have to put up with their politics or anything else, but I have to honor them for who they are because God used them to bring me into the earth. And once I learned the difference, I could honor them and respect who they were without. See, once I got set free from the fatherless spirit, I wasn't bound by the way the fatherless spirit thinks. Number 10, anger, lack of patience, and judgment. I'm still working on lack of patience. As a matter of fact, when I taught managers around the world, I coined a term called aggressively patient. You have to be aggressive enough to open the door for your sons and daughters in this case, and patient enough for them to come in. See, leaders in the body of Christ are shepherds and not cattle drivers. You know, if you drive the cattle too hard, they all die before you get to market and you have no profit. But we have to learn to control our anger. You see that a lot in fatherless families. Because the spirit just riles deep within the soul of the sons and daughters. Number 11, wearing a chip on your shoulder. Well, you're always against me. Do you have a chip on your shoulder? You love them better than you love me. You never, once you say never, you've already set yourself up. You never have time for me. I forgot about the fishing trip. I forgot about playing catch when I was five. Is that never? In seldomly had time. But never means you're probably moving out of a chip on your shoulder. By the way, my father never came to any of my track meets, baseball games, wrestling matches, or soccer games. Well, he came to one. He came to our sectional championship game of soccer my junior year. And he came to my freshman of college track meet. So never doesn't apply, does it? Number 12, inability to align properly with spiritual authority in your life. You know, many people have problems and they church hop because they're fatherless in their soul. Well, I don't agree with the way pastor parts his hair. I don't agree with the way the deacons take up the offering. I don't agree with, because they can't submit their soul to authority. They're not covered by authority. And by the way, submission this year is a very key thing in the prophetic revelation for 5779 and 2019. That if we are not rightly aligned with spiritual authorities, we will find ourselves being bantied about by both spiritual and natural forces. Number 13, fornication. That is sex outside of the marriage bed. I think Ron may have touched on that last week. It was a good sermon if you haven't heard it. It's online. By the way, even when I'm gone, I listen to the messages that are delivered in the house. We've got a lot of excellent teachers in this house. God created sex, and he called it very good. But it was between one man and his wife, one woman and her husband. Fatherlessness has that manifestation. 14, abortion. Got to do away with my problem. The shedding of innocent blood is one of the major sins of this region. It's one of the major sins. New York was the first state that had legalized abortion. And if you don't know, that's where Andrew Cuomo wants to drive our state to have the most liberal abortion laws, where you can kill a child even after it's born. If you don't know that, you won't hear it on the media. That's what this flyer is all about. And if they botch the abortion, and oh, by the way, a doctor does not have to do the abortions anymore if he passes this law. So we're right back to where we were before Roe versus Wade. And if they botch the abortion, that child has no medical recourse for all of their injuries under his new proposed law. And don't sit there silent and stare at me, because you can change it. In prayer and voicing it to your senators and all the other senators in Albany. 15 is gang membership. Where there is fatherlessness, they are looking for someone to be an authority over their life, and they give their lives over to violence, crimes, and everything else by submitting themselves to a false authority in a gang. Rapid in Rochester. 16, homosexuality. Fatherlessness is the leading cause of homosexuality. It is not biological. I'm a PhD chemist. I will show you research that proves it's not biological. It is caused by fatherlessness and rebellion in the sons and daughters who are fatherless. There is not a single case of DNA evidence that supports the lie that has been thrust upon this nation. 17, rebellion. Well, I just spoke about the rebellion. You can't tell me anything because I'm me. That's a fatherless heart, because they never had love poured into them. 18, lawlessness. They will do anything to get what they want. Prostitution, murder, robbery, you name it. Sell drugs, anything. Oh, by the way, I've been through all of this. I'm not speaking from inexperience. You didn't want to know me 60 years ago or 50 years ago. 19, slavery to sin and addictions. They sell their freedom for something that will give them a quick feel-good experience. And as you have heard in the news, that is now killing many of the fatherless. Because the people who are trying to get rich off their addictions are literally tainting their addiction. Forgiveness is the key. At 3:30 this morning, Holy Spirit spoke to me in a dream and said, I have to talk about this. I don't want to forgive them. They did me wrong. They did me dirty. I'm the one that did me wrong, and I'm the one that did me dirty because I didn't forgive. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which gives you authority in the earth. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, see us later. We'll pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. We prayed for a young woman from Kenya last Saturday at the conference, and she just took off. Had this beautiful smile on her face. She said, my hands are getting warm. Started speaking in tongues. I said, that's not Swahili or any of your native languages. She said, I don't know this language. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you want to have the authority that Jesus gave us to forgive sins on the earth. You know you have authority. How many of you are born again? Just want to see if you're paying attention. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, see, born again gets you into heaven, but filled with the Holy Spirit allows you to be his ambassador of heaven on the earth. Here's what Jesus said in John 22, 22 and 23. He's talking to Peter and the disciples at the moment they got saved after his resurrection. That's why I'm glad communion was about resurrection tonight. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. Do you see the authority you have to break fatherlessness? If you forgive, they're forgiven. But even more, you're forgiven. Because any sin that I hold between me and Stephen keeps me in bondage to that. He may have forgiven and walked away, but if I hold in it, I'm still in bondage to that issue. So, it's time to break the chain of fatherlessness. If you identify with this, I want you to stand up. This is the major issue that's going to keep the United States from moving into the glory realm the Lord wants her to be in. It is so subtle and so destructive. The Lord told Moses to tell Aaron to teach the people. Every day, repent of your sins and the sins of your forefathers. That's how I begin my days. Whether I knew them or not, I knew neither of my grandfathers. They both passed away before I was born. Whether I know their sins or not, if I forgive them and release them, I'm set free from the sin pattern they had. There was fatherlessness on both sides of my lineage. My grandfather, by all accounts, from his sons and daughters, was an alcoholic. Never around. I break that. My father, I never knew my grandfather, but I heard stories about him that I won't repeat. But I break that. But until I knew to break that, I was drawn into their sin. So the first thing we're going to do, so you can pray after me if you'd like, is to do that. Father, I repent of my sins. I renounce them. And I confess them as an abomination in your sight. Father, I repent of the sins of my forefathers, even back 10 generations, on my father's side and on my mother's side. I renounce their sin as displeasing in your sight. I repent for it, and I ask you to cleanse my bloodline so that me and my marriage and my children are free. And Father, I repent of the sins of the United States of America, of all of the things that we have done as a nation in your name, that have caused a fatherless spirit to remain. I repent of the way we dealt with slavery. I repent of the way we dealt with Indian boarding schools. I repent of the way that we dealt with the First Nations. And I renounce it as sin in your sight. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to forgive the United States of America. Lord, I ask you to set us free. If you need to be free, I want you to raise your hands. Don't hit your neighbor like this. Not surrendering. Lord, I shake off the chains of fatherlessness. I take the collar of fatherlessness and cut it off of me. I take the ball and chain of fatherlessness that has kept me from my destiny. And I throw it away. Lord, I confess. The blood of Jesus Christ has set me free from every curse. And you said that if I forgive, I will be forgiven. I choose to forgive all of these generations and all of my nation for this issue of fatherlessness. Repeat the last part. You think I got this memorized? Father, I repent of all of the sins of my generation and all of the sins of my nation that lead to fatherlessness. I cut them off of me. Now open your hands like this. Father, I receive your mantle. I am your son, I am your daughter.
I am your son, I am your daughter.
Lord, I take the mantle of fellowship with Jesus.
Lord, I take the mantle of fellowship with Jesus.
Holy Spirit, Jesus said that if we would forgive, they would be forgiven. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, if we forgive, they will be forgiven. So we take this mantle of forgiveness as your child, and we will use it to set captives free. Thank you for setting us free. Amen. The devil hates it when we're happy and joyful. There are bountiful refreshments next door. Remember to contact your state representatives and voice the biblical position on our governor's proposals. I love you all. Have a very blessed week.